The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Next week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, in Bamidbar Chof Zayin, we have the Parsha in which Moshe speaks to Hashem about appointing a successor for himself. Now at the end of the 40 years in the desert, they are embarking to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe was assured by Hashem that he will not lead the people into Eretz Yisrael. And it reads as follows. Vaidaber Moshe el Hashem lemor. Bamidbar Chof Zayin Posuk Tes Vov. Yifkeir Hashem elakei arucha is lechol bosor. Ish ala edo. Then Hashem shall appoint the God of the spirit of every man, a person who will rule over the congregation. Asher yetze lifnehem v'asher yove lifnehem, someone who will go out before them and come in before them. Asher yotzi'em v'asher yivi'em, who will take them out and bring them in. V'leisi'a das Hashem katzein asher ein lehem re'ah. And in order that the congregation of Hashem should not be like sheep that has no shepherd. V'yimar Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, kach lecho es Yeshua bin Nun. Take Yeshua, the son of Nun, Ish Asher Ruach Bei, a person who has great spirit, V'somach des Yotcho Olov, and take your hand and put it on him. V'amarata Yisei Lifnei Alozer HaKain, V'lifnei Kol HaEdo, and bring him, he shall stand before Elozer, the Kohen, and before all of the community, V'tzivisa Yisei Leinehem, and shall be commanded, you shall command him in their presence. Venosata mehetcha olav, and you shall give from your glory upon him. Leman yishmu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, in order that all of the congregation of Israel shall listen to him. Lifnei Elozer hakohen yamed v'shale b'mishpat ha'urim lifnei Hashem. And before Elozer HaKein he shall stand, and there he shall ask the judgment of the Urim v'tumim before Hashem. Al piv yetzu v'al piv yavou, hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael ito v'chol ha'edo. In accordance to his mouth they shall go and they shall come. Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem Eisei, and Moshe did like Hashem commanded. Vayikach es Yeshua, and he took Yehoshua, v'amidehu lifnei Elozer HaKein v'lifnei kol ha'edo, and he stood him up before Elozer HaKein and before the congregation. Vayismeich es yodav olov, and he placed both of his hands upon him. Vayitzavehu, and he commanded him kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe, like Hashem said through Moshe. Now, from this parsha, there's a great deal that we can learn about various aspects of communal life. And let's dwell upon some of these points this evening. Firstly, Rashi brings, when Moshe came to Hashem to appeal to him to appoint a successor, Lehidia Shivchon Shel Tzadikim, this is to teach us praise of the righteous, Shikshen Niftorin Mina Olam, when they are ready to leave this world, Meinichin Sorchon Ve'eskin B'tzorchei Tzibur, they set aside their own needs and their needs of their own household, and they occupy themselves with the needs of the community, of the tzibur. From here we learn what it means, responsibility, achrayis. In order to be a leader, Now here we were speaking about a leader par excellence, because this leadership meant the one who would lead all of Israel. He would be the Melech, he would be the king, and he would be the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it would be his responsibility to teach Torah to all Israel, and it would be his responsibility to bring the people into Eretz Israel and to conquer all of the kings and the nations that were there. This is what is always said on Yeshua. Lam de Tere li Israel, ulahan chelesa oretz. He taught Torah to all of Israel, and he conquered Eretz Israel. But this also applies to all of the successive leaders. And not only that, but this also applies to not necessarily leaders of the whole nation, but even leaders of part of the nation or any community in Israel, as we will see later on. And from here we see that to be a leader, this requires responsibility, achrayus, where one places the needs of the tzibor, of the community, before his own personal needs and before the needs of his own household. When a person dies, before he dies, that's the time when he has to start talking to Hashem about himself and start to worry about his household. But here, Moshe made that secondary. Lahedia, to teach us, this teaches us Shivchun shel tzadikim, the praise of the righteous. Shikshin niftorim min ha'olam, that once they leave this world, as they are leaving this world, meinichin sorchon, they set aside their own needs. Eiskin betzorchei tzibor, and they occupy themselves first and foremost with the needs of the tzibor. And this was Moshe par excellence. Fact is, it states in the Medrash Rabbah in Parsha Shmos that when Moshe yet was working as a shepherd by Yisro, he had fled from Parai. And this was before his encounter with Hashem. The first encounter with Hashem was at the burning bush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested him. How did he test him? It says, Bochnei Bitzayin. He tested him with sheep, to see what kind of care he would take with the sheep and what kind of responsibility he'll take over them and what kind of compassion he'll have for them. And the Medrash tells of a story where a young sheep ran away and Moshe chased it a long way through the desert, and finally he found the water hole, and there the sheep drank. And Moshe said, I didn't know you were thirsty. And he put the sheep on his shoulders and he carried him all the way back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if this is your concern for just one of the sheep, then I can tell that you will be a good leader of Israel. And consistently we see Moshe always was ready to give his life for Klal Yisrael. Many, many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu became impatient with Yisrael and said, I've had enough of this nation. I'm She'erefim. They are a stiff-necked nation. And I want to do away with them. Let me destroy them. This he said by the golden calf, and by the maraglim, by the spies, and so forth. And many times he told Moshe, I'll make a nation from you. We'll start a new nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Mecheni no misifrecho. If that's the case, then erase me from your book. I don't want my name to appear in the Sefer Torah. And he would always appeal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive Klal Yisrael and not destroy them. And this is a long topic. This was Moshe all of the time. Until so far that in Parshas Vayeschanan, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chof Beis, this is what we will be reading right before Tisha B'Av. excuse me, right after Tisha B'Av, on Shabbos Nachmu, it states, Ki onechi meis bo'oretz hazeis, eineni over eseyadein. Aisha told the people that I am going to die in the desert, and I will not cross the Jordan River. And the Chazal, the sages, ask that if he's going to die here in this desert, here in this land, so it's understandable that he will not cross the Jordan River. What's the repetition for? So on that, Rashi brings that even after I die, I will not cross the Jordan River, but I will be buried in the desert. And the Medrash asks, why should Moshe Rabbeinu be buried in the desert? It's true that he didn't have the shchus to go into Eretz Yisrael while being alive, but then let him go afterwards, like Yaakov Avinu died in Egypt, but they carried his bones into Eretz Yisrael to be buried. And the same with Yosef. So Anat the Medrash says, because Hashem said to Moshe, you have led the generation out of Egypt, and they died in the desert, you have to remain with them. So at the time of the Tchiyah, of the Tchiyah Sameishim, when they will be given life again, you will be able to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, his responsibility extended even far beyond his own life. This principle is a principle that I, as a bocher in the yeshivas, tells, but here many, many times. This is one of the great principles which the Rosh Yeshivas would expound over and over. Achrayis for the tzibur, achrayis for the klal. And this had its sources in Gedei Leilita, in the great Rosh Yeshivas and Rabbonim that were in Lithuania. The fact is, that's how Lithuania managed to put up 15 or 20 world famous yeshivas. It was a little land, yeshivas that were famous all over the world. And they were always prepared to give up from their own needs and the needs of their families when it came to the needs of the tzibur, when it came to the needs of the yeshiva. And they were always prepared even to give up Torah from themselves and their own families when it came to the needs of the tzibur. Rabbi Elimeir, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, he was the Rosh Yeshiva together with his brother-in-law who fled from the Nazis and came over to America in 1941 and re-established the Telzi Yeshiva. He had a principle that he would not allow anything, any personal needs whatsoever, to stand between him and his Avedis HaTzibur, what he did, what he felt he had to do for the Klal, for Klal Yisrael, for the Yeshiva, or who, wherever it might be in Yisrael. There are a few famous stories. There's one very famous story. He never knew what happened to his family. He left before the Nazis invaded Lithuania. Actually, it was just yesterday, Chof Tammuz, the 20th of Tammuz, which is the yard site of Telza Jewry, the Lithuanian, when the Nazis, Yamach Shabom, massacred the Telza Jewish population, and the yeshiva, many, many Rosh Yeshivas and the Rebbetzins and families. He left before. They saw the danger coming already. And they sent him together with Ramot Chaketz, his brother-in-law, via Siberia and Japan, to come to America and try to bring the Holy Yeshiva over. By the time they'd gotten to America, the Germans had entered Lithuania. So he never knew yet what had happened to his family. And you can imagine the agony and anxiety he was suffering. And they tell the story that he was going to speak one day before a gathering which was on behalf of the yeshiva, or on behalf of some other needs of the tzibur that evening. And a few hours before, a telegram arrived. And he knew that this telegram would tell him what happened to his family. And he refused to open it, because he knew if it would be bad news, he would be in no position to be able to speak. See, he wouldn't open it until after the gathering, in order that this should not disturb his work for Klal Yisrael. As it happened, it was bad news. Another story that's told. I was in the yeshiva. When he died, shortly afterwards was the time for the yeshiva's annual banquet. Yeshivas in America, it's customary, they would make an annual banquet, which was a great fundraiser. And it was time for the annual banquet. And they thought that since it came out during the Shloshim, during the 30 days, when the Rosh Yeshiva was Niftar, he died, they would cancel the banquet. When they started to read through what he left over, he had left in his savo and his will that under no circumstances should anything be disturbed or cancelled that's on behalf of the yeshiva because of his avelus, because of the mourning for him. Another instance, when it came time, they came to Cleveland. And Cleveland was not, in those days, a city of Torah. Today it's a great city of Torah because of the Tel Yeshiva. And there was no day school. So they felt it's time that a day school is established. So they started the move for establishing one. They sent one of their Talmidim that had come over with them to become the director. It was Reb Nochum Velvel Dessler, who should be well and strong. This is the son of the late Rebellio Dessler, Zecher Tzadik Libracha. And they started to build the Hebrew Academy of Cleveland, which was one of your foremost Jewish day schools in America. Now their children, their own children, were far more advanced than the children that were coming to the day school from the city, because they were growing up in the Rosh Yeshiva's homes. And many of them were taught Aleph Beis and how to read when they were 2 or 3 or 4 years old. So for many years there was always talk that they should not send their children to that day school, but they should make a separate cheder for their own children. Rebbe Yemeir, together with his other colleagues, always blocked such a move, such a motion. And they said, because if they pull out their own children, it'll weaken the whole day school. And it'll weaken the Torah that they are building for the city, even though their own children might gain. And they always said that even Torah from our own children did we sacrifice. And there was nothing more dear to them in order to build Torah for the tzibur. These were great leaders in Klal Yisrael. It wasn't long ago that I was davening in one of the shuls here during our break. We don't always have a minyan. And as I was walking out of the shul in the morning, so one of the balabatim starts to complain to me. He says, you know, today, he says, our children do not worry about anyone except themselves. And he was bitterly complaining. What was the problem? What was the case? His children had immigrated overseas, like is very common. and left him behind. And he said, this is something that you would have never seen in the last generation. He says, last generation children should go away and leave old parents behind. Never. And then he said, it's our fault. It's our fault. He says, we have no one to blame except ourselves. Because we brought up our children only to think of themselves. This is what he started to tell me. He says, this Western culture, man is taught what to do for himself. Man is taught how to advance his own interests, promotion, progress. That's what he's taught. If he's got time left, if he's got money left, so it's also good to do something for someone else. But that's way in the background. The life is how to advance yourselves. He says, that's this world. And that's what we taught our children. How to be a better lawyer, how to be a better doctor, how to make more money, and so forth and so on. So he says, it's no wonder then they can just pick up and leave. Because it's better for them and their families. He says, we have no one to blame except ourselves. This is what he was starting to complain bitterly about. And this is the truth. When do you hear that someone should make a decision about what to do or what not to do, which is not in his own interest, but is in the interest of the community? Did you ever hear such a thing? That someone is faced with a decision. What job he should take, where he should settle, what school he should send his children, whatever it might be. And in one way it's good for himself, the other way it's not so good for himself, but it'll be good for the community. When do you hear that someone should say that I turned down this opportunity because even though it would be the best thing for me, it's not the best thing for others. It's not the best thing for the Jewish community. I'm not speaking necessarily about people who are professionally involved in the Jewish community, but anyone. Don't hear it. It's not even a consideration. This is what we're speaking of, responsibility, achrayis. It's not just a word. It's very nice to say responsibility. It's not a word. It's a life's direction. And when we were in the yeshiva, this is what we were hammered with all of the time. We would hear from the Rosh Yeshivas that yede einer, everyone darf sitzen und lernen, has to sit and learn. No chazach urban, after such a churban of Jew Yiddishkeit that took place in Europe, everyone has to sit and learn and learn grace in Torah and become great in Torah and then gain umatum to go all over ganz America, the ganze Welt, all of America, the whole world, zu schaffen Torah in Yiddishkeit, to build Torah in Yiddishkeit. The talk wasn't how to advance one's own personal interests. The talk always was how to advance the interests of Klal Yisrael. This is achrayis. And this is something that the world is very far from today. And that's why we have a world that looks the way it does today. When everyone is in it merely for himself. So that's one great principle that we see from here. Another principle. Meshe said, Yifkod. Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchais, Ish Al Ha'Edom. Hashem should appoint. Now, Yifkod is a Loshon Tzivui. It's a command. You don't come to a king. You don't come, certainly, to the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the king of all kings, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tell him what to do. You don't command Hashem. You can come and appeal Moshe always spoke to Hashem in an appealing manner. Be Adoni. See, please. Perhaps. Ulai. And Moshe was the great man of humility. After he made the Mishkan, he wouldn't even enter into the Mishkan until HaKadosh Baruch Hu summoned him. Vayikra. So all of a sudden Moshe comes now, and he comes with the fist, Yifkod, a point, telling Hashem what to do. The Medrash says on this, when you come to ask for yourself, you got to ask with great humility. And you have to be very careful. You have to ask with loshen tachnunim, where you appeal like a servant comes to a master. But when you come to ask on behalf of Israel, no. There you can come with great strength. You can come with chutzpah. Bob is Reya. You can come aggressively. Because you're not asking for yourself. You're asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. That are bonim atem l'Hashem l'keichem. That are his children. Kol mi shemavakei sochei tzibor. Whoever comes to ask, and not on his own behalf, but on behalf of the tzibor. Bob Israel, he can come with aggressively, with strength. And not only that, Moshe said, he said, Vaydaber Moshe Hashem. Moshe said to Hashem, Lemor, to say. What's the Lemor? All the time Hashem will tell Moshe something, Lemor, to say to Klal Yisrael. But over here, Moshe is coming to Hashem, and he's saying, Lemor, to say. To say what? Rashi says, he says, Omale, Hashiveni, Imatoma Manale and Panisim Lav. Moshe came with a demand. I demand an answer. You must appoint a leader and tell me if you're going to do so or not. This is how Moshe came to Hashem. From here we see what does it mean. Klal Yisrael, the Tzibor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get upset when you ask on their behalf. Not even aggressively. To the contrary. He's very happy when people are worried about the Tzibor. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Avos that the Mishnah states in Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. It states, Rav Gamliel b'nai shel Rabbi Yehuda Anosi Omer. Rav Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, said, Kol ha'eski im ha'tzibur. Whoever work on behalf of the tzibur, ye'eski imam l'shem shamayim. Do so l'shem shamayim. Do so for the sake of heaven. In other words, do so not for your own ulterior motives, not for your own interests. Do it for their interests. And then, schus ha'vosam misayosam. Then you'll have the schus of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. You will succeed. If you do the Shem Shemaim, you will succeed because they will help you. Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Tzidkosein omeres la'ad, because the merit of the Tzibor is forever. And it will really not be your successes. But still, v'atem mala ani aleichem socher ki la'sisem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you credit as if you succeeded. And why is that? So the Maral explains, what link do we have with Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov? They lived thousands of years ago. They lived so many generations ago. What link do we have? It depends if we come as a yochid or as a tzibor. If we come as an individual, we have no link with them. But if we come as part of Yisrael, the tzibor, the Gemara says, "Ein a tzibor meis." The nation doesn't die. Individuals come and go, but the nation remains. One generation will come and go, but the nation always remains. So, and the same thing when it comes to Torah, the Maral says. Torah was not given to an individual. It was given to Israel. See, if you come representing yourself, you have little, very little back in you. If you come representing Israel, well, then you can talk to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And they will help you. And you will succeed. But it won't be your successes. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you credit as if you succeeded. Therefore, whenever you work on behalf of the Tzibor, you must do so for their sake. And then you will succeed. If you do so for your sake, you won't succeed. And this is what the Sifri brings, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe all of the various leaders that were going to, from Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, all the way till the time when the Mashiach will come. Because they all become partners with the same Tzibur. And further, when Hashem said, Kach lecha es Yeshua binun, take Yeshua binun, we always have the question when it says by a human being, kach, take. Because take means, how do you take a human being? What do? You lift him up, you drag him. So kach, when it says kach, by a human being, Rashi always explains, you inspire him. If you want a human being to follow you, you want an animal to follow you, so you whistle, or you hit him, or you pull him. But if you want a human being to follow you, you have to convince him. So kach, take Yeshua, inspire him and convince him. How? Rashi explains, kachnu bedvorim, ashrecho shezochiso lahanig bonav shalmokim. You must tell him how fortunate he is that he has the opportunity to be a leader for who? For the children of Hashem. See, how fortunate he is. And this also, Rabbi Yemeir Zichreinu Livracha used to say, when you're leading, if you have a position in leadership, or you're dealing with Klal Yisrael, some people want to write off a section of Israel. They'll say, look, these people, they're not good people, or whatever they might not be. They don't keep Torah or mitzvahs. They want to write them off. He said, heaven forbid, how can you write off Israel? Bonim shel mokam. It's the sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other people will say, look, I'll work with them and I'll do a great chesed with them. It is a great chesed. I'll work with them. But they do it in a condescending manner. In other words, I'll force myself to bring myself down to their level. See? He says, Chas v'sholem, heaven forbid. This is Bonim Shalmokem, the sons of Hashem. He says, when you're able to do something, you have an opportunity where you can work with Jews, then what is the proper attitude? Here, Ashrecho. How fortunate you are. Shezochiso lahanig bonim shalmokon. That you have the schus, the opportunity and the merit to lead the children of Hashem. This is how Hashem said, because kach Yeshua, take Yeshua. Because many times a person might say, look, I don't have time, or I'm busy, or who needs the headaches? Who needs all of the problems? The difficult people. Even Moshe had so much difficulty. He said, Od miatus koluni. He says, they're liable to stone me. Moshe had, so he had a doson and he had an aviram. And he had a keirach. All consistently, he had big problems. So generally a person will say, look, I don't need it. So how should you take your shua? You have to identify and define to Yeshua this great opportunity that he has. Ashrecho, how fortunate you are, shezochisa lahanig bonim shel mokum. That's how one must approach this. Because to work with the tzibur, there can be no greater shchus. This is a second principle. Let's go to a third. States asher yetze lifnehem va asher yove lifnehem. Now from here we will see what is a leader supposed to be like. So Moshe asked someone that will go in front of them and come in front of them. What does that mean? Rashi explains. He asked as follows. He says, I don't want a leader for Israel like the kings of the world, like the presidents in the world that we find today, or the kings that we found during the time of the past. That they sit in their homes, they sit in their capital cities, they sit in their castles or their palaces or their white houses, wherever it might be, and they send their armies to war. Moshe says, I want you shall appoint a leader that will do what I did. I didn't send out my men to fight against Sihon and against Og. They were great giants and great warriors. But I myself went and fought with them. See, today you have, this is why we have so much wars. It's very easy for a president or a minister, a prime minister, to sign a declaration of war. Sends out 1 million of his soldiers to get killed. But he's in the luxury and the sanctuary and the security of his castle. But if he knew that he would have to lead the troops into this war, I think all of the ministers and presidents would think a second time before they sign a declaration of war. Okay. And this was Moshe. He says, I didn't send them out to war, the sons of Israel. I led them to war. States how I fought against Sihon and Og. And became by David, and this is what all the leaders of Israel did. We find it by David also. Ki hu yetze hu bo lifneihem. We found this with David, and we found this with Yeshua. Ukederech shos Yeshua by yelech Yeshua elov. Yeshua was at the head of the armies, and David Amelech. So from here we see a leader has to be in front all of the time. The king must be in the front. And actually, the source of this goes back even further. The source of this goes to Yehuda and Yosef, the two great leaders of Israel. Klal Yisrael had two kings that were groomed from the 12 sons. And one was Yehuda, and one was Yosef. And Yosef was the one that went down to Egypt first. And the brothers and the father followed him. And Yosef was the one that established a place for Israel there first. And the others followed. And the same thing with Yehuda. When Yaakov came down to Egypt, he sent Yehuda first, states, to establish a front for Klal Yisrael. And from both of these came great kings. From Yehuda came Malchus David and the Malchus HaMashiach. And from Yosef came Yeshua. Yeshua was from Yosef. And from Yehuda came Peretz. And Peretz was called by that name, which means to burst forth, because he burst forth, there were two being born, Peretz and Zerach, and he burst forth, and they called him Maporatzto. And in the Nach it states where there was a descendant by the name of Peretz, this was on David, it says then he's Roy Lamalchus, then he's a Melech, because HaMelech Poratz Geder, the king has to make new roads, not that he follows others to make roads, but he makes new roads and new trails that were never there before. This is what a king has to do, this is what a leader has to do. This really was the chait of Saul. The kingship was given to Saul, but he lost it because he did not listen to the command of Hashem. Hashem told him to destroy all of Amalek, and he didn't do it. And when he was asked why didn't he listen, he said, because ki yoreisi min ha'am, because I feared the nation. If someone fears the nation, then it's the nation that's leading, not the king. And the king was merely a follower. And that's the antithesis of kingship. And therefore he lost the kingship. And this really is the problem with the world today. Actually, about a year ago, there was a cover story on one of the international magazines stating what has happened to leadership, that the world is leaderless. Well, it's not a criticism on individuals, it's a criticism on the systems. We have systems today that do not allow leaders. The minute they try to lead, then they're not re-elected in the next election, and they're ace leaders, no longer are they leaders. But we have developed systems today in the world that is counter to leadership. This system is known as democracy. Democracy means is that you do what the people want. So the people lead and you listen. This is why that presidents today, including President Clinton from the most powerful country in the world, that before they take a serious decision, they send out a survey. They have their aides conduct a survey to find out what is popular opinion. And if there is too much opinion is too strong against the decision they want to take, then they're advised not to take it. They say you will not have public support. So who's leading? You find out if the people will support you. If they will, then I'll go. If not, I won't go. So it's the people that are calling the shots, not the leader. And this is why we cannot have leadership today. Again, it's not a criticism on the individual, because they'll vote him out of office if he does differently. And this, unfortunately, is the prophecy. The prophecy which our sages told us, it's a Mishnah Masechta Soter, that as we come near the end of days to the year of the Mashiach, the Melech HaMashiach will be the greatest leader that ever came to the world. He will Shai LaMelech, he will consolidate and make an alliance of all the nations in the world, and he will lead them to Har Hashem. He will lead them all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will all bring a tribute to him. So he'll be the greatest leader. But it says, as states, as we come close to those days, Pnei Hador Kipnei HaKelev, the world will sink so low that the heads of the generations will be like the heads of dogs. Did you ever see the way a dog walks? He'll always run in front of his master and looks like he's leading his master, but then he stops and turns around to see which way his master's going, and that determines which way he should go. So he's in front, but he's following. Now that's not what Moshe wanted, because that brings Churban. So he says, therefore, I want a leader that will go in front of the people and come in front of the people. He says, like I did. Then he said further, Vasher Yetziem, Vasher Yeviem. Again, he said, that will take them in and take them out and take them in. What does that mean? Rashi says, Biskui Esav. A leader that will have great schus, great merit in his own right, so he will be able to safely take them out and safely take them in. The leader has to have, he has to be a pillar of strength where he has great merit in his own right, which will protect the people. This is what Maisha was demanding. And this is the main quality of the leader. It states in the Mishnah Ovis, this is something else that the Tel Zer Rosh Yeshivas used to always say. It states, Meisha Zocha V'ziku Asarabi. Meisha merited and brought merit to the Rabbi. Whenever you cause the Tzibor to do a mitzvah, that's called bringing merit to the many, which is the greatest mitzvah in itself, because then you get credit for everything. But it doesn't merely say Meisha Zikes HaRabim. Meisha brought merit to the Rabbi. It states Meisha Zocho V'Zikes HaRabim. So the Mortal used to explain, first you have to be Zocho yourself. A person first has to be of great stature himself with Torah and mitzvahs. Then if he is, then he can bezike as a rabbi. Then he can bring merit and bring influence to the rabbi, to the many. So this is what Maisha asked for. I want a leader who is great in his own right in Torah and mitzvahs. Then if he's great in his own right, then he'll be able to bring greatness also to the people. We had in the recent Parsha Shlach, when Moshe sent the people to go spy out Eretz Yisrael, so he said, Hayesh Bam Eitz, see if there's a tree there. What does that mean, see if there's a tree? So Rashi explains, see if there's a great man there, Sheyogin Aleim B'Zkusei, that will protect the nations occupying Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, with his great schus. If there's none, then we're better off. And then they came back in Kolev. Kolev, which Yeshua said, Sor Tzilom, the great shadow of protection has vanished. Sherim Shebehem Mesu. What does that mean? Because their great people have died. Who were they referring to? Eov. Eov lived there. And Shohei Megin Aleihem. As long as Eov lived, his chus protected them. But he's died. So Tzilom, their protector, has died. So this is what we're referring to. So that's another quality in the manhig, in the leader. A third quality that we have in the leader. Moshe asked for Elokei, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he referred to him as Elokei Aruches. The God of spirits. What does it mean, the God of spirits? Elokei Aruches Lechol Bosor, the God of spirits of all flesh. So Rashi explains, Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Golu V'Yadu Lefanecha, Daiti Shel Kol Echad Be'Echad. He says, Moshe said to Hashem, you know very well that every person is different. There are no two people alike. Everyone has something else in mind. Now, how is it that you can be a leader of people, but when everybody wants something else? How can you satisfy everyone? This one wants to go to the right, and this one wants to go to the left, and this one wants to stay in the middle. And you're supposed to lead them. This is what Moshe said. You know
when you created people, that each one has a different nature, each one has a different spirit, each one has his own ways, each one has his own idiosyncrasies. Yiddish is an expression, jeder eine hat seine Sachen. Everybody has his own mishigasen. This one likes it that way, and this one likes it this way. Now, how are you supposed to consolidate? Or how are you supposed to unite? Something like that. So this is what Hashem, this is what Moshe said. Mana aleihem manig sheyaseivul kol echad ve'echad lefi daito. See, Moshe was put in a big order. I want a leader that can lead everyone. He's able to carry every individual. What do we see from here? It's true, you can't satisfy everyone all of the time. But he says, I need a leader that is very broad and has a very broad spirit. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, Kach lecha Yeshua binun ish asher ruach bei. He's the man that has an all-encompassing spirit. Because a leader has to be a leader for everyone. See, for everyone. Not just for certain factions. Not just for certain people. A leader sometimes is good with the old people, not with the young. Others are good with the young and not with the old. See, a leader has to be good and lead everyone. And he has to be able to savel. Savel means to tolerate everyone. Now again, this is not an easy order. Even Mesa couldn't tolerate everyone. We're not talking here with Rishayim Gemurim. We're not talking here of real Rishayim like Kerach and Gosim and Aviram and so forth. But we're talking of good Jews, but each one has his Zachen. I remember once in St. Louis, there was a great Rav there, and he was the Rav of the whole city. And the right wing element, the element that was more Haredim, they had complaints on him because they said he should cater more to their needs. He didn't want to put off balance what he was doing for the whole community. He was doing what he could for them, but he didn't want to go too much at the expense of the others. So they had big complaints. He says, look, we are the ones who are keeping Torah and mitzvahs better than anyone else in the community. First and foremost, you must cater to our needs. And later, we'll worry about the rest of the community. And if you cannot cater to our needs and the other needs also, so forget about the others. So I was discussing this with the Rav Gifter. So the Rav Gifter answered, he says, if I stain it, as a Rav daf zayin, a Rav for alle menschen. He says, they don't understand that a Rav has to be a Rav for all of his people. Can't just cater to one faction and forget about the other faction. He cannot cater to the other faction and forget about this faction. So he's got to find something which is a balance. And that's what he was seeking. See, and that they had complaints. He says, a Rav daf zayin, a Rav for Allah. Rav has to be a Rav for the whole community. He says, where did that come from? It comes from here. Then he says, Moshe says, I don't want someone that's going to be a leader of a group. I want someone that will be a leader for Kol Yisrael. That can so well, that will be able to tolerate and carry everyone. So that's another principle. So these were, in this section that we just studied now, these were the various principles of what a leader has to be. Always in front, a person with great schus, great merit in his own right, and elekei haruchais, someone that can be sevel ruach shall call echod ve'echod. who will be a leader for all of the people. Now, one final principle. That is, this we learn from Hashem's answer. Moshe was putting in a big order here. This is the leader he wanted. Now the Chazal tell us that Moshe had a candidate in mind. Who was his candidate? His own son. He felt that his own son would be the one qualified for the position. And actually the Chasam Sefer writes in the Tshuva that his own son must have had these qualifications, because Moshe was not an unintelligent person, Chas v'Shalom. If this is what he's asking in a leader, and he had in mind his own son, so evidently his own son was a very, very great person and had all of these qualifications. And still HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned it down. And actually, the son would have a kedima. Son gets first chance. When it comes to many positions, inheritance plays a very big role. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned it down. He said, no. Kach lecho es Yeshua bin Nun. Take for yourself Yeshua bin Nun. Now the question is, why did Hashem turn it down? Why should he choose Yeshua over Moshe's own son, especially when Moshe's own son must have had these qualifications? Because if they didn't, then Moshe himself wouldn't have had that in mind. So the Medrash tells us, and it's what seemed to be a strange Medrash. Medrash says as follows. Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hu Neitzer Te'eno Yechal Pirya. He who guards the fig tree, he will eat from the fruits. Bonecho Yoshfu Lehem Vele Asku Beteira. Your sons did not guard your Torah like Yeshua. Yeshua Harbe Sheirosko. Yeshua served you with all of his might and all of his heart. Harbe cholak lecho kovid. He gave you honor with all of his might and his heart. Vehu hayom mashkim umari bebeis avad shilcho. He would be the one who came to your beis hamedrash. He was there the first one every morning. And he was the last one to leave every evening. Hu ayom mesader es asaf soli. He would straighten out the benches every morning. Hu apeiris es amachzolis. He would be the one that would come in the morning and open the curtains and open the windows. And at night he would be the one that would close the windows and close the curtains. Since he served you with all of his might, therefore he should be the one that will serve Israel in order not to lose this reward. Take Yeshua ben Nun lekai mashenema, to fulfill what it states, that he who guards the fig tree shall eat from its fruit. Now this Medrash is strange, because Moshe asked for someone who was an enormous leader and someone who would be willing to give his life for the Tzibur and place their needs always first, and someone who would always go in front and come back in front and have great shchus and be able to tolerate each one, and so forth and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, Yeshua used to take care of your Beis HaMedrash. used to come in early in the morning and leave late at night. He used to open the windows and close the windows and put all the sforim away and straighten out the chairs and the tables. He'll be the leader. But this is a very nice thing to do. But what does this have to do with leadership? And this is how you choose the king. And this is how you choose the one that's going to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, and the one that will conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now from here we learn something also very important. There is no doubt that just like Gershom, just like the sons of Moshe, had the qualities that he asked for, Yeshua also had the qualities that he asked for. Because Yeshua became the leader, and these are qualities one needs to lead Klal Yisrael. So they all had the qualities. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice was Yeshua for a different reason. What was that reason? Because he said he had served you. He served you. Bechol keichai, with all of his might, while the others did not. How did he serve you? Many times in the Torah it states, "Ba'anar le'yomish min ha'ehel," he was always next to you. He was always in your Beis HaMedrash. He came in first. He left last. He took care of it. It states that when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, and then he came down, and he asked Yeshua, "What's that noise in the camp?" There was the noise of the dancing from the Egel Azov, the golden calf. Now why did he ask Yeshua? Yeshua wasn't on the mountain. Nobody was allowed to go up in the mountain. So Yeshua was in the camp. So then if Moshe was in the camp, he would see what it is. The answer is everyone was allowed to go to the foot of the mountain. And after they went to the foot of the mountain and they heard the giving of the Torah, so it states, "Shuv lachem lo aleichem," return to your homes. So everybody returned. Yeshua stayed at the foot of the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, waiting for his master to come back down. And that's why Yeshua was the first one that he confronted before coming back into the machaneh, before coming back into the camp. And in other places it states that this was the Nar, this was the his Talmud that never left the tent. Now, what do we see from here? We see that besides having the greatness of all of these qualities that we mentioned, and besides having the greatness of Torah and the greatness of brilliance in Torah, there's another quality. And that quality is the Mesira of the Talmud Rav, the giving over of the Talmud of himself to the Rav, the Kesher, the bond between the disciple and the master. And that is the quality that Yeshua had, and that's the quality that won for him the position. And why is that? The answer is simple. All of our Torah, it's very important, the answer, all of our Torah that comes to us, where does it come from? The Torah of every generation, where does it come from? It all comes from one source. Notice it says, "Kulam mereya echod nikbu." The Torah of all of the generations comes from one single source, from one shepherd. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is the only one that received Torah and brought it down. No one else received Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe kibul Torah Misinai, Moshe alone. So all the Torah that we have in every generation has to come ultimately via Moshe Rabbeinu. If it doesn't, then we're in trouble. because then it's not the Torah that Moshe brought down. So it has to come by a Moshe Rabbeinu, because it states Moshe kibul Torah miSinai. Only Moshe received Torah from Sinai. Umasru to Yeshua. He gave it to Yeshua. And the Torah is called Moshe's Torah. Zichru Torahs Moshe Avdi. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, you shall remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Now, if we have Torah in a generation that does not find its way back to the Torah of Moshe, then it's an Aveda Zora. Then it's a strange alien ideology. But it's not Torah. It's not Torah's Mesha. And the only guarantee that the generations have that the Torah that is being learned, that being taught to them, is Torah's Mesha, is only if it's by someone who is bound to Mesha in an enormous way. He can be the greatest gaon, he can be the greatest genius through history. There were great geniuses, Jewish geniuses, that were great in Torah, but they became kofrim. They went off the track and they became atheists. We even had tanoim like that, the Gemara brings. So the only guarantee that the Torah that we are learning is pure Torah is if it comes from a Talmud of Moshe. And a Talmud means someone who is bound up in the Rebbe, to the Rebbe. That's the guarantee of the generations. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, we need all of these qualities. And we need brilliance and greatness in Torah, but we need something else also. We need someone that has given his life for you, that is so bound to you, that then we will know that the Torah that he teaches is your Torah. Meshe kibul Torah miSinai masru liYeshua uliYeshua v'skenim. Because if we put someone else in that position, and it's his job to give Torah over to the generation, what happens if it's coming from a different source but not from you? Then it's an alien ideology. It's an Aveda Shizorelei. And this would be Churban. This would create destruction. And therefore he says that was not your sons, but that was Yeshua. And these were the illustrations how it was Yeshua. And that's why the Gemara brings that it is very great to learn by a great Rebbe. But shimusha gedela milimuda. But serving that Rebbe is even greater than learning by him. Because when you learn by him, you have the knowledge, but when you serve him, you become part of him. And then the Torah can be transformed even more. And this is why it states that Hevi Meira Raboch Kimeira Shamayim, that the fear of a Rebbe must be a fear like heaven. Because a person has to look at his Rebbe, that he is standing in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's transmitting to you the Torah which Moshe transmitted to the world from Hashem. So the Rebbe is standing in the place of Hashem. But if that cannot be, then it's not the Torah that we want. I remember many years ago, I heard Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas. I heard him speak. And he says, we are seeing the proliferation, the growth of Torah in the world. But whether it's all Torah's Emes, Torah's Moshe, ich weiß nicht, I don't know. And we've seen a lot of growth in Torah today in the world. This he was speaking, this goes back 30 or 40 years ago. But whether it's all Teres Moshe, Torah's Emes, he says this, I don't know. It's not enough that there should be Torah in the world. It has to be Torah's Moshe in the world. It has to be Torah's Emes in the world. Then it's Torah's Hashem. But if it's going to come from other sources or new sources, but not via Moshe Rabbeinu in his Talmidim. Now, there's certain places where Maral and others used the expression when they were having debates in a Torah ideology. So they would say that this is against Torah's Moshe, but onu Talmidim mimeshe Rabbeinu. We refuse to accept this. Maybe you call it Torah, but it's not Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu, but onu Talmidim mimeshe Rabbeinu. We are disciples of Moshe. We're not interested in other Torah. And that's why it was so important to have someone who was bound up totally with Moshe. In the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, right after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, states as follows: "Vayi acharei meis Moshe eved Hashem." After the death of Moshe, who was the servant of Hashem, "Vayema Hashem el Yeshua binun." Hashem came to Yeshua binun, Mishoris Moshe, the servant of Moshe, saying. And then he says, "Moshe has died. You shall become the leader." So here it states, how does it call Yeshua? It calls Yeshua Mishoris Moshe, the servant of Moshe. So the Vilna Gaon says, why? Because this is why he was chosen as the successor of Moshe. Just like Moshe was the Ever Hashem, the servant of Hashem, he represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshua was chosen as the successor of Moshe because he was the Mishoris Moshe. He served Moshe. Then he asks, so why doesn't it say Talmid Shel Moshe, the disciple of Moshe? He says, because the Chazal says, Shimush Gdeila Milimuda. Even greater than being a Talmid is not only learning by a Rebbe, but being bound up and serving him also. So this was Yeshua, and it's written in this Pasuk, because this is the Pasuk in which Yeshua takes over the succession of the leadership, and therefore it's written here, the Vilna Gaon says, because this is the reason why he took over the succession. And this is why it states that it's when Moshe put his hands on Yeshua and he gave him from his or his light, just like Moshe's face would shine with light after he came down the mountain, it states Yeshua's face also would. So the Medrash says, "Pnei Moshe k'pnei Hashemesh." The face of Moshe was like the face of the sun. "Pnei Yeshua k'pnei Alavona." The face of Yeshua was like the face of the moon. What does this mean? It means that the face of Moshe naturally was a greater light than the face of Yeshua. But what is the example? So on this, my Rebbe, Rebbe Gifter, would say, where does the moon take its light from? The moon takes its light from the sun. And this was the greatness of Yeshua. The moon takes the light from the sun and then gives it over to the world. Yeshua took the light from his master and gave it over to the world. This is why Moshe took from Hashem, gave it to Yeshua, and Yeshua gave it over to the world. So this is the fourth principle, that the Torah we're interested is only in the Torah which comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that has to come Talmud Mirab, but it has to be in this manner. For the Rebbe was bound totally to his Rebbe, who was bound totally to his Rebbe, all the way up to Yeshua and to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is why Yeshua was given the position. So we spoke about this evening on four principles of leadership. One is achrayis, the responsibility where he has to take for the tzibur. The second, on milas hatzibur, what does it mean doing something for Klal Yisrael, for the tzibur? Third, how the manhig, how the leader has to act, that he must always be in front, a leader, not a follower, and that he must have schuis, great merit in his own right, and that he must be able to lead all of the people, or as much as possible all of the people, even though everyone is different. And then fourthly, what does it mean to lead with Torah? Because he has to be an heir to the Torah of Moshe, which means that he has to be bound up to Moshe. And that was Yeshua, Mishoris Moshe, the servant of Moshe.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.